Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Nikki Richardson. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Digital's earnings teleconference for the third quarter. With me this morning are Bob Palmer, Digital's President and Chief Executive Officer, Bill Stoyle, our Chief Financial Officer, and Brad Allen, Director of Investor Relations. The format for this morning will be brief presentations by Bob and Bill, followed by questions and answers. Bob will stay with us as long as he can. When his schedule dictates that he must leave, Bill and Brad will remain to answer your questions. Before we start, I'd like to remind you that questions polling on this call will be different from previous earnings conferences. You will not be priority polled by port, but will need to dial 1-4 to ask a question. Now, with the housekeeping details completed, I'll turn you over to Bob Palmer.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be able to participate in our teleconference with you, discussing our Q3 results, and I hope to continue to participate from time to time as my calendar permits. We have a lot of exciting and encouraging developments underway at Digital today, and I wanted to take the opportunity to give you a brief update on at least three major areas of transformation that we're engaged in at present. Those areas are restoring our profitability, implementing a new leadership team and organization, and introducing the next generation of 64-bit computing technology. First, I'm really pleased that the difficult work we've been doing at Digital continues to be reflected in the improved operating results as we move through each quarter of this year, and as we compare our results with last year's results. The fundamental financial health and strength of the company is intact. When I began as president on October the 1st, Digital was losing approximately $3 million a day. In Q3, we succeeded in bringing the losses down to approximately $300,000 a day, or a tenfold improvement in just a few months. My goal is to continue to lead this company in a way that will retain the loyalty of our current customers and partners and win new customers and partners and continue to enhance shareholder value. While we're anxious, as all of you are, for our return to profitability, we are not going to predict today when that might be. We're dedicated to achieving profitability as soon as we can, and we're working assiduously toward that goal. To that end, generating revenue growth is quite key, and the second area of our transformation, new leadership, and a new organization is critical to achieving that increased revenue goal. I'm satisfied with the progress that the company's making in moving from a product-driven, geography-focused company to one that is customer-focused and market-driven. I believe that our strategy, which is to provide customers with the best solutions and the best technologies in core areas of our competence, is the right one for Digital's customers, partners, shareholders, and employees. On the implementation of a new organization, my leadership team is almost complete. This past week, we announced that Gresh Breebach, formerly of McKinsey & Company and previously of Anderson Consulting, will head up our worldwide systems integration and professional services function. You should also look for our company to announce a new worldwide leader of sales and marketing very shortly. Additionally, we launched this week a new advertising and promotional campaign to solidify and carry the messages of the new Digital into the marketplace. You'll begin to see this program beginning next week. The third area of transition, the introduction of the next generation computing platform, our 64-bit Alpha AXP, is of course continuing. Next year, Alpha AXP will become an increasingly important source of our revenue. We continue to see high levels of interest in our Alpha AXP products. Most of that current volume is at the low end, as you expect. While this is a major program that will take several quarters to fully implement, this past quarter we did pass several significant milestones. For example, we launched our Unified Unix Operating System program, including commercial availability of OSF1, a fully 64-bit operating system on the Alpha AXP platform. You've also heard and written about some of our competitors agreeing on an approach to a unified Unix. Digital is today shipping products that reflect that unified approach. We think we're 8 to 12 months ahead of the competitors today. We're delivering products based on the standard APIs that they're going to be specifying in the future. We're proud of our Unix leadership, which is 64-bit and the only 64-bit, our alpha performance, and the fact that we've unified things for our customers. We see it as a distinct competitive advantage in the coming few quarters. We announced announced availability of mixed cluster capability for Alpha and VAX systems, and that was 9 months ahead of our original schedule. Also, Mitsubishi Electronics announced that they will be a second source for our Alpha AXP integrated circuits. Novell announced that its network operating system, NetWare, will run in native mode on Alpha AXP systems in the future. And in addition, five major database vendors have announced availability of their databases on the Alpha AXP architecture. These five include Informix, Ingress, Oracle, Progress, and Sybase. We're expecting very high performance of their databases on Alpha AXP. Alpha AXP continues to set major performance benchmark records, including the best relational database performance for a single processor and the world's fastest sort performance, beating out both the Cray YMP and Intel's Hypercube in that last one. Within a few weeks, Digital is also going to announce the world's fastest workstation and a new low-cost workstation. At that time, Digital expects to enjoy the position of having the fastest workstation under $5,000, the fastest workstation under $10,000, the fastest workstation under $15,000, and for that matter, the fastest workstation at any price. More than 500 Alpha AXP applications from partners and 50 layered software products from Digital are available today on Alpha AXP. In total, more than 1,000 vendors are moving more than 2,000 applications to this next generation of computing. Now let me turn the teleconference over to Bill Stoyle, Digital's Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning. Let me give you a brief update of the financial picture, then take your questions. As Bob pointed out, our focus on asset management and costs is beginning to pay off in our operating results. We are bringing the same successful focus to growing our revenues. Let me make some general comments on the tone of business. For Q3, our third quarter, total revenues were up 6% from the comparable quarter last year. From a geographic standpoint, our international business is showing 6% growth year over year, while the U.S. showed a slight decline. Without currency, our worldwide business would have been about flat. Product revenues were flat overall, even though there is growth in our PC business and in our other low-end products. Service revenues continue to show good growth. Our PC business more than doubled in both dollars and units year over year as we expand our presence on the desktop. Service revenues grew 12%, driven by strength in our systems integration and multi-vendor customer service business around the world. Customers increasingly rely on us for consulting expertise and helping them apply technology solutions to their business problems and servicing their existing computers and networks. Even with the competitive environment, we were able to ship substantially more units in Q3 this fiscal year, keeping our product revenues essentially flat. Given the current uncertain economic environment, however, our outlook remains cautious, and we continue to be conservative in the way we're managing our financial performance. On the cost side, our strong cost improvement efforts continue to show themselves in our operating results. Research and development spending declined by $83 million, or 19% versus Q3 last year. R&D is now 10% of revenue versus 13% a year ago. Selling, general, and administrative costs declined by $88 million, or 8%, versus Q3 of fiscal year 92. SG&A is now 30% of revenue versus 35% a year ago. In addition, total worldwide population declined by 4,000 people in the latest quarter. The ending population was 98,100. Total population has declined by nearly 16,000 since the beginning of this fiscal year. On the balance sheet side, asset management continues to improve. Total operating asset turns rose from 1.49 times a year ago to 1.69 times in the last quarter. Inventory turns rose to 4.6 times, a 0.2 times improvement from last year, and another indication of steady improvement in inventory quarter over quarter. Capital spending continues to be tight. In Q3, it was $102 million, the lowest level since Q2 of fiscal year 84. We are continuing to invest in our semiconductor operation and in the tooling required for all of the new Alpha products, so we're not in any way curtailing our capital spending on the most important projects in the company. We looked at total capital spending for the fiscal year that will end in June to be less than the fiscal year 92 level of $710 million. On the accounts receivable side, while our day sales outstanding deteriorated slightly from last quarter, day sales outstanding was 9 days better than Q3 fiscal year 92 and will continue to improve over time. Our restructuring efforts are on schedule. The current restructuring reserve is $874 million. We used $222 million in Q3, and as you recall, we took a restructuring reserve at the end of our last fiscal year of $1.5 billion, so the fact that the reserve still has $874 million in it means that we're covered for the rest of the fiscal year and beyond. As Bob pointed out, we generated cash of $191 million from operations and investment during Q3, even with all of our restructuring activities, so we ended with a strong cash position. After the end of the quarter, at the beginning of April, we also issued $250 million of 30-year debentures at 7.75%. This completed the $1 billion authorized debt that the SEC gave us permission to raise this fiscal year last August. We ended Q3 with $1.6 billion in cash and feel we have adequate cash on hand to meet our needs for restructuring, to meet our working capital requirements, and our capital investment program for the future. To sum it up, we have gotten our costs under control and have stemmed our losses. Given the uncertain economic outlook and product transition Digital is in, we will continue to run a tight ship with a strong conservative balance sheet.
Thank you, Bill. John, could you start polling for questions, please?
Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you wish to decline from the polling process, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before doing this. One moment, please, for the first question. Jonathan Yankin, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yeah, hi, this is Jonathan Yankin from the Associated Press. I was wondering how quickly you would expect to get the workforce level down to the your previously stated goal of about 85,000 to 90,000?
Well, actually, we've stated a number of times that we don't have a top-down number, although we've acknowledged that many of the analysts that have followed our company have suggested something in that range is appropriate. What we expect is that there'll be some continued restructuring and population adjustments in the company over time as the new business unit complete their analysis of their business opportunities for FY94. And so I think you can continue to see that restructuring. But we really never stated a top-down number. I just observed that many analysts that compare our company to others suggest that would be about the right number.
Could I have the next question, please?
John Wilkie, please state your company name followed by your question.
Good morning with the Wall Street Journal. I realize PCs are still only a small part of revenues, but growing. How soon do you expect this business to break even?
This is, as you observed, John, this is Bob Palmer. It's growing very well. It was up over 100% quarter over quarter, you know, looking at the previous year. And I think the new leadership in there, I'm quite optimistic with Enrico Pescatore's leadership and the fact that he's working on an aggressive plan for FY94. He hasn't yet completed that plan, so it's a little early for me to state when he's going to expect to break into the black. I'm optimistic.
Thank you.
Hey.
Paula Musich, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, this is Paula Musich at PC Week. I see that revenues are down slightly from the second quarter. Do you attribute that solely to fluctuations in currency?
This is Bill Stoyle. We normally have a little weakness in Q3 versus Q2, and that's really the reason. There was some positive currency impact in both quarters. And as I said, when you remove the effect of currency in both quarters, the revenues are flat with a year ago.
We have the next question, please.
Ted Bunker, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Investors Business Daily. I wonder when you folks see revenue growth resuming, and what will be the driver of that revenue growth? And another unrelated question is concerning SG&A. And the costs overall of the company, when do you see those coming down substantially more than you've already reduced them? And is that one of your goals at the moment?
Let me try to comment on your revenue growth question first. We are continuing to experience good growth in our service business. Our PC business is growing. We're starting to see some growth in our new Alpha product line that we announced in November. That growth will be dependent on how quickly we can get all of the software on the three new operating systems that we're planning to make available on the Alpha product line. The VAX business, while it's healthier than we thought it would be, it is declining, and as the Alpha business increases. So the fact that product revenues overall are flat is very encouraging to us, because that means that we're successfully managing our way through this product transition period. So we would expect to see more growth in the future, although we're planning for continuation of the recessionary economy that we're experiencing both in the U.S. and most of the other countries we do business in around the world. So while we're planning for growth, we're also being very conservative in the way we manage our cost structure and our balance sheet. Your question about sales, general, and administrative costs, they were down in Q3 FY93 by 8% versus a year ago, as were our R&D costs. And actually, if I gave us credit for an unfavorable currency adjustment, they would have been down 12%. So we're starting to see now the impact of the restructuring and downsizing the company did last year and has been doing through the first three quarters of this year. There is a lag effect, because after you make the decision and you do the necessary preparation to reduce the population, to reduce the number of facilities and so forth, it takes a while to realize the benefits of those actions. The actions have been on plan. The costs of taking the actions are charged against the restructuring reserve, and then after that happens, you start to see the improvement on an ongoing operating cost basis quarter after quarter. So we're expecting to see continuing reduction in our SG&A costs.
Josh Hyatt, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Josh Hyatt from the Boston Globe. I wondered if you could give us some indication of, in terms of product revenues, and where Alpha contributed most, or at all.
Alpha has just started to become a factor in terms of the company's total revenues. We announced it late in Q2. We have a lot of software developers at this point that have units, and customers also have units for evaluation and for porting software from other workstations and other servers over to the Alpha platform. We have about 500 applications that are deliverable today. Plan to have over 2,000 three or four months from now, and we're busily working on that program. We had originally planned to have the NT operating system and the Unix operating system available in January. Unix started shipping last month, and as Bob pointed out, the NT operating system won't factor in terms of this year's business because it won't even be announced by Microsoft until late May or early June. So we have the plan is to have applications, development tools on all three operating systems, and in terms of our original plan, two of those three operating systems have been behind schedule through no action of Digital.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Ted Bowen, please state your company name followed by your question.
Digital News and Review. For the third quarter, what were VAC sales, and can you break those down U.S. and overseas?
Well, we don't break down our revenues by product line or by country. But I can tell you that the VAX business has been steady. It has the mix of shipments, servers, workstations, data center machines, and so on has remained relatively stable. The units are still increasing. The business is continuing along the lines it has over the last couple of years. The Alpha business is a much smaller factor. About half of the company's revenues now are coming from products, and half of the company's revenues are coming from service. In total, I mentioned the product revenues are flat. VAX is most of the business today. PCs and Alpha are the faster-growing components.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Mary Ann McGee, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi. This is Mary Ann McGee from Information Week. I had a question regarding the Alpha-ready VAC systems. I guess in previous quarters, I think things were a little bit slow with those systems. Have things improved as far as revenue?
Well, the VAC-ready products were announced last July, and they have, in our opinion, helped us to keep our VAC business very much alive while making it easy for customers who did not know exactly when they wanted to make the transition to Alpha, make them comfortable with the fact that they could buy Digital's current VAX products and that they would have an easy migration from a financial point of view and a software migration point of view to the Alpha product line. So the Alpha Ready program has been very successful. Had we not had a program like that and tried to get our customers through a major transformation from our VAX products to our Alpha products, I think our revenues would have fallen off quite dramatically this fiscal year. That, in fact, didn't happen. The VAX or the Alpha Ready VAX program was the reason for that.
Next question, please.
Paula Musich, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Thank you. This is Paula Musich again from PC Week. I wanted to find out if the new leader of the worldwide sales operation that you're about to announce is coming from inside Digital or if that'll be an appointment from outside the company.
No, that will be an appointment from outside the company. I don't think I've interviewed so many folks for one position in Digital, certainly one of the most important positions, and I looked at a lot of people. I announced the intention to hire worldwide sales and marketing from the outside in October at my first speech, and I've been working to make that a reality. Interesting difficulty when you're looking at the magnitude of the challenge. Took a while to find the right person, but I'm quite satisfied that we have exactly the right person, and we will be announcing that shortly. And again, from the outside with the experience and depth that we really need here.
Liz Galisi, please state your company name, followed by a question.
Yes, this is Liz Galisi from Bloomberg. I would like to ask for an update on bringing your salespeople on a full commission compensation basis. When will this be accomplished, and what progress has been made toward this goal?
Well, we've made good progress. We've introduced elements of incentive compensation in the different geographies in which we do business already. And that seems to have a quite positive effect, at least on the attitude. Let's hope it has a similar effect on the orders. But we've also been in redesign of the compensation system, and I'm satisfied that we're making good progress in getting in a position to introduce that at the start of our new fiscal year. One of the key elements will be to have the new Vice President of Worldwide Sales and Marketing review that program and add his inputs or modifications to it prior to the introduction. Another major element of the current design is that we included active participation by people in the field who will be part of that program in its design so that we have a better chance of getting the desired outcome. But we're pretty optimistic about this, and we expect to be on schedule introduction for FY94.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Wilmot, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Tom Wilmot from the Aberdeen Group. Good morning. I wonder, based upon the fact that you had a nice pop in your service and other revenue category of about $180 million quarter over quarter, you had a great success in reducing R&D and selling and general administrative expense. If you could just be a little more specific about what's in the makeup of the total cost of sales number that grew quarter over quarter at $100 million run rate approximately, especially against a backdrop of declining hardware or stable hardware revenues.
Yes, this is Bill Stoyle. I'll comment on that. The main reason for that slight growth there is from the currency impact of our overseas operations. As you know, about half of Digital's business is outside of the United States, and while currencies have helped the revenue, they've also penalized the expenses. And so that was the reason for the small amount of growth quarter over quarter in SG&A cost.
Thank you. Michael Knell, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Michael Knell from the Boston Herald. I wanted to ask a little about the ad or marketing campaign that you had mentioned. I wonder if you could tell us a little more about it, what the targets of that campaign might be, what media you're planning to use, and perhaps a little bit about the message you're planning to convey.
Well, basically, what we're trying to address is some feedback that we've gotten as a basis of an extensive customer survey we did about perceptions about digital. This is a data-driven advertising campaign which will freshen up the ads. It will be stressing the value that digital brings to our customers through our solutions and enabled by our technology. And you'll begin to see these ads coming out, as I said, in the following weeks. But the issue really was to also ensure that the ads are coordinated across digital and that it's clearer what the advantages are that digital brings to the customers throughout the world. As we bring on the new worldwide sales and marketing leader, I expect you'll also see then some more product-specific advertising rolling out. So these will largely be freshed up, improving the overall image of the company, I think, addressing the solutions that we bring to our customers.
Is that the kind of thing we're going to see on television?
I'm sorry?
Would we be likely to see some of that image improvement effort on television? Is it going to be that broad an effort?
No, I don't expect so. This is primarily print media as we've traditionally used it, digital. But I think we want to communicate with our customers the very positive things that we're doing and what it means for them in a different way. We haven't actually changed the look and feel of our ads for quite some time, so I think this is more reflective of the new emphasis on customer-focused, market-driven company, and that's what we're trying to communicate.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Ted Bunker, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Hi, I wanted to press you a little bit on two things. One is the costs going forward, the issue of overhead, SG&A, and so forth. Although it's come down, and that's been noted, do you have a goal to reduce it even further? And if you could share with us what that goal is, where do you want to get it ultimately? And then secondly, in terms of the accountability issue, which, Bob, you mentioned and stressed when you took over the job in October, are you satisfied with the degree to which you've been able to get people within the organization to take responsibility for their actions? And do you see that that there's a need to do more of that? Are you happy where it is now? If you could respond to that.
Okay. On your first question, I believe SG&A is still too high overall for the company, but we don't really, the real emphasis is on it by business unit. So as we implement the new business unit architecture, each business unit manager has a model or a benchmark, if you will, for his or her business. And the goal for each of those business units is to achieve that benchmark. It's going to take more than 1 year. I mean, it took some time to get in this trouble, and it's going to take time for each of them to get their business to benchmark level. But each business manager will be coming forward with their proposed recovery program for their business unit. And I expect that in most of them, there may be one or two where they're already at benchmark SG&A, but I think most of them will have continued improvement in SG&A. And I think that your question about where it ultimately goes, I think this is an ongoing restructuring in the entire industry. It's hard to say ultimates, really. Then we just continue to have to monitor the business, look for new opportunities for moving our products and services through channels and so forth. Relative to the accountability issue, I'm satisfied given that we've only been working at it a few months, but I'm not satisfied with it in the absolute terms. In other words, I think we have a lot to do to get the new business units in place, have the accountabilities quite clear, have people know what they've agreed to do, and then be in a position to ensure that there's a real feeling of personal responsibility for the outcomes. We're making progress. People are learning, I would say, in the organization. But again, it took years to get in the environment that we have today, and frankly, it's going to take some time to change the environmental attitude around this issue of accountability, responsibility, clear lines of authority, and so forth, that we've been lacking. But I'd say at this particular point, 6 months, 7 months into it, yes, I'm satisfied.
Thank you.
Craig Stedman, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, I'm with Electronic News. In talking with some analysts recently, they've been, some of the analysts that I've talked to at least, have voiced some concerns about the adoption of the alpha technology, and some have cited that they're getting lukewarm readings from the customer base, from the existing digital customer base, and very little interest from outside the customer base. Could you comment on whether those perceptions are fair or totally off the mark, and then comment on how confident you are that the alpha products are going to be successful, both in the customer base and beyond there?
I think that fundamentally, Craig, the key to this success is the applications, and as we've noted, we were somewhat behind in getting the Unix operating system out relative to our original hoped-for schedule. Windows NT has yet to be formally announced, and at the same time, we are starting to get those applications out that can demonstrate the efficacy of this particular architecture. For example, I mentioned that we beat all the previous benchmarks around some of the transactions per second metrics, and then we're going to have more of that sort of thing over the next few months. So every month there'll be some additional benchmark where Alpha AXP demonstrates superiority of that architecture and the real benefit of having the 64-bit availability. I think we mentioned all the major database vendors have committed and even announced availability of their products under Unix on Alpha. You're going to see some significant performance from those databases as they start to run under this architecture. I think customers are no longer buying just because you have a new architecture or a higher performance box. They're wanting to know, what does this mean for me and my business application? How do I really see that this will result in additional productivity for my organization? And so I think it's logical. It's going to take time. Me personally, I'm very optimistic about it. We're right on our schedules. Since the first of the year, in every case, the performance has met or exceeded our expectations. Those people doing the ports have continued to say how easy they are, surprisingly easy to port over to Alpha. So I think it's just going to take time. And I'll remind you that when we introduced the VAX architecture 15 years ago, it was quite some time before the VAX took off and actually exceeded the PDP architecture in sales. So an architectural introduction is not an everyday thing. Every 15 or 20 years, you make this major introduction. It's going to take a little time for customers to really appreciate the benefits, but I'm quite optimistic.
Craig, if I could, this is Brad Allen. Let me just make one further point on that in terms of the analysts' surveys of customers. And we've seen, for example, recently Dean Witter, Jay Stevens at Dean Witter, his most recent customer survey, which he does periodically. I don't know if you've seen that, but beginning to show an increasing interest in Alpha. There was also some interesting data that came out of the Collins survey that actually hasn't been published in the public domain yet. We're beginning to see increasing interest picked up on the radar screen of at least the financial analyst surveys.
Mr. Palmer has left for an appointment, so if you would direct your remaining questions to Bill Stoyle and Brad Allen, please. Next question, please.
Thank you. Melinda Ballou, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Computer World. Actually, the question was going to be for Bob, and I guess I just missed him. I have two questions. One was in terms of your expectations, I guess I'll address this to Bill now. How well did you expect to do this quarter, and how does it compare to what your expectations were? And the other question is in terms of the channels marketing. I don't know who could answer this, but I was wondering how things are proceeding in terms of structuring channels marketing into the business units. I know that's been an issue for some third-party people not getting the information that they need. So if you could answer those questions, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. The quarter three performance was very close to what we had planned and expected for that particular quarter. As you know, we have been working hard to get our cost structure in line to be more competitive. We've also been concerned about conserving our cash and making sure that as we go through this period of transition and restructuring, we're in good shape for the future. And at the same time, we're making investments in our new products in order to grow our business again the way we have in the past. So we've been not only consistent with our own expectations, but I think pretty much consistent with the expectations of people who follow our company on the outside as well. In terms of our channels, Bob mentioned that we had our new customer business unit organizations in place, and several of those have new people managing them from the outside. And we're busily working on what our marketing and sales strategies will be for the future and how we will sell through our own sales force and our channel partners, be they OEMs or VARs or dealers and distributors, or through a electronic ordering channel, which we call Deck Direct. Part of reducing our selling, general, and administrative costs this year and into the future will be addressing that part of our company, the selling and distribution part of the company, which is which historically was building up a very large direct selling effort and not putting as much energy into developing lower cost channels. We are now changing that and market by market deciding what the right channel strategy is, and you will see Digital in the future making much more effective use of indirect channels.
Next question, please.
Jeff Woolacott, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Jeff Woolacott, Renaissance Group. A question I wanted to get to was more on the product gross margins. Clearly, the cost reductions are being driven by some margin erosion as you shift from a proprietary product stream to one more open or commodity. And it looks like it's dropped from about 45 points to 42 points over 9 months, and for the third quarter, 93, it was at 41. Do you have any stated expectations as to when that'll level off and what number you think it'll be at once you're fully over to AXP?
Yes, let me try to answer that. Our margins on Alpha products are similar to our margins on VAX products. Servers tend to be up in the 40% range, workstations in the 30%, and PCs tend to be in the 20, somewhere in the low 20s. We're expecting further pressure on product margins into the future. We offset a lot of the price reductions that go on in the industry with improved manufacturing costs and improved delivery distribution costs. But we do expect further pressure on margins, which is driving a lot of our effort on sales, general, and administrative costs and research and development costs. I can't give you an absolute number, but if you look at the historical trends in the industry, you could easily predict that product margins in this business will be down in the 30 to 35% range over a 5 year kind of time frame. I can't predict exactly when, but I think it's important that Digital plans for the that eventuality.
Next question, please.
Marianne McGee, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Just regarding the availability of applications for Alpha, you said you have about 1,000 developers developing about 2,000 applications, and at this point there's about 500 available. For which OS is the predominant version of these software products?
Yes, the predominant operating system today is OpenVMS because we've had that available from since last fall. We last month announced the availability of Unix, which is Digital's unified Unix based on the OSF kernel. And we did have those we had Alpha workstations in the hands of the developers through all of the third quarter. And we are announcing on a daily basis new application development tools and new applications. So that part of the program, while it's about 3 months behind what we originally planned, and that was caused by the availability of the OSF kernel from OSF, we are now busily building more and more applications, porting more and more applications. NT, which a year ago we thought would be available in January, now won't be announced until late May, early June, and it probably will have little or no revenue impact on this fiscal year. We expect a lot of MS-DOS applications will run without modification on Alpha under the NT operating system. We do have beta versions of the software, and we are testing it, and we will be ready to ship NT at the same time the Intel-based PC vendors ship the NT operating system. So it's a question of how quickly this Alpha business will ramp up as we complete the software program that Bob alluded to earlier.
Next question, please.
Craig Stedman, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Yes, I wanted to ask if there has been any slowdown in the company's plans for purchasing equipment for the new the wafer fab that's being constructed in Hudson, and whether there might even be plans to just complete the building and leave it empty for some time.
Oh, I hope we never get to that stage. No, in fact, we are on plan with the investment in the Fab 6 facility in Hudson. In fact, we're a little bit ahead of plan, and we are in good shape from a cash point of view to keep the capital investment schedule as we had planned it. So we see no slowdown whatsoever in that program.
Okay. And in terms of just purchasing equipment, that hasn't been...
No, equipment has not been an issue.
Yeah.
Cleaning the plant and outfitting it with the appropriate equipment is all on schedule.
Okay.
Next question, please.
Thank you. If there are any additional questions at this time, please press the 1 followed by the 4.
John, I think we can conclude the conference.
Pardon me, ma'am. I do have a couple additional questions, if you're willing to take those.
Yes.
Steve Berg, please state your company, followed by your question.
Steve Berg, Computer Reseller News. I just wanted to find out if you could comment specifically about some of the cuts in R&D, whether they took place mainly in the mini computer end of the business, or were they across the board, and did they affect any PC or workstation development?
The things that were eliminated in engineering were mainly redundant projects, and engineering services that were redundant by better rationalizing the set of projects that we had that were under development, new product development projects. We were able to streamline the whole engineering organization. We have not given up any of the company's development or product development in this process. We did reduce the population in engineering by about 20%, in the first half of this year, and most of it was what I would call redundant work that wasn't necessary.
Question, please.
Joanna Schmidt, please state your company name, followed by your question.
I have no questions this morning.
John, if there are no more questions, we can conclude the conference.
I believe Craig Stedman has one follow-up question, sir.
Hi, thanks. The other question I wanted to ask, I wanted to clarify a comment that Mr. Stoyle had made during his initial comments. I believe you said that the U.S. business was down slightly. Is that
less than 5% year over year.
And that's for the quarter or for the first 9 months?
For the quarter.
Now, is that a change? Because I thought in the past that you were kind of seeing an improvement in the U.S. and some sluggishness overseas.
Actually, on a year-to-date basis, there were some pluses and minuses in the first two quarters, and it was a little under in the third quarter. I would say it's pretty much flat on a year-to-date basis. And we didn't really, when we looked at the Q3 results by country, didn't find any surprises in the U.S. or anywhere else for that matter. Business is a little soft in Germany and in France, and continues to be down in Japan, although there's some signs of improvement there. The U.S. has been pretty much flat now for several quarters, even last year.
Thank you, Ms. Richardson. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Actually, we would like to conclude the conference at this point. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.